This morning, I thought you'd be getting a letter. Have you got letters? Yeah, okay. In with the letter, there's a CD, and on the CD is this message. So you can listen now, and then you can listen again, as they say on the BBC. Because basically this is a message that we thought it was good for everyone to hear, and I want to just deliver it in person, because there's some things particularly I want to say to you as a congregation in the context of this message. The version you'll hear on the CD obviously isn't this one, but be blessed by it anyway. And there is a title for this message, and it's not a title, it's not a phrase that I made up. I wish I had, because it's a very good one. I first heard it from a friend of mine called Norman Barnes, a friend of Tom's as well. And I don't know if Norman actually made it up or if he heard it from someone else. But the phrase is this: so, where you want to go. So, where you want to go. And I want to spend a few minutes this morning just thinking about sowing where we want to go. Then we're going to take up an offering, which is kind of appropriate. Although I'm not just going to be talking about money. And then we're going to be sharing bread and wine together and remembering again all that Jesus has done for us. So let me just pray again. That'd be good. Father, I want to thank you for your commitment, your, well, I was going to say undying commitment, but Lord, it is undying. Death couldn't hold you. Death couldn't hold you. And Lord, I want to thank you for your commitment to each one of us this morning. You know every hair on our head. Some of us have got more than others, but you know every hair on our head, Lord. You know our needs right now. You know the things on our mind. You know the things that would weigh us down. You know the things we rejoice in right now. You know the things we're sad about. I want to pray, Lord, that as I share your word, that it will be your word that will come and minister to people right where they are, in the circumstances that you know, Lord. I want to pray, Holy Spirit, you'd come and bring encouragement this morning to these really precious people. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. So this morning, I want to give a sowing lesson, I suppose. I was very tempted to have a graphic to illustrate that just to confuse you even more. But it's probably just worth me laying a bit of a foundation, and then we're going to look at a scripture together and see where we go from there. The foundation is this. I believe wholeheartedly in us following the presence of God prophetically. I believe that 100%. I won't say 110% because that phrase is beginning to annoy me, because of course you do realize no one can do anything 110%. You do realize that 100% is the maximum, don't you? Who was it that some football manager said during the week that his team were 1,000,000% behind him? Just a little extreme, I think. But I do believe in the principle that we've set in the church of following the presence of God. I believe that as we read his word, that God can speak to us prophetically and can speak into our situation in a different way every time we read it. Alongside that, however, I also believe that in God's word are principles, important principles. Principles that if we live our life by, we will put ourselves in the way of God's blessing. Not in the way as in, you know, we'll put ourselves in the stream of God's blessing. We will position ourselves where, if I can put it like this, it's easy for God to bless us. Now, I believe God's heart is to bless. And so he can't bless us anyway. But I also believe that we can put ourselves in a position where it's easy for God to bless us, because we've aligned ourselves with important principles that aren't separate from him. They are principles that flow from his character. They are principles which reflect his character. And so powerful are these principles contained in God's word that you hear stories of people who don't even know the Lord, who align themselves with these principles, and somehow they kind of get caught in the overflow of it all. And there is blessing there. My wife, Lina, who some of you will know, some years ago felt the Lord speak to her and give her this kind of instruction, this guidance, this guideline. And it was this: live your life from predetermined principles, not mood or convenience. Let me just say that again. Live your life from predetermined principles, not mood or convenience. And as we align ourselves with predetermined principles from God's word, not in a legalistic way, but in a way where we are joyfully choosing to align ourselves with the character of God, then I believe those principles will carry us through those times where, you know, when Paul writes to Timothy, he says, minister in season and out of season. You know, there are times when we're a bit out of season, aren't we? Well, I am anyway. But as we align ourselves with those principles from God's word, then we can make that decision. Outside of what mood we're in. Lina and I used to belong to a gym. At the moment, it's in the past tense. Well, we put it in the past tense when we worked out that even though our gym membership was hugely discounted and really, really cheap, nevertheless, we worked out that over a period of something like 10 months, each time we'd visited the gym had cost us about £90. At which point we thought, actually, this is not good stewardship of money. But we used to joke, but it was also true. If the previous night, as we were going to bed, one of us would say, might go to the gym tomorrow. We knew 100% we would not be going to the gym tomorrow. If we said we are going to the gym tomorrow, then at least we kind of made a decision that we had a choice about the next morning. Might go to the gym meant I'm not going to the gym. And life's like that, isn't it? You know, there are things we don't always feel like doing that it might still be good for us to do. And that's a trivial example, but we're going to deal with some more important examples, I think. And so if you'd like to turn to the second book of Corinthians and chapter 9, and it's a passage that will be familiar to many of you. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm going to start reading on verse 6. And if you've got my Bible, it's on page 1019, but looking around, I don't think any of you have. So okay. This I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Can I just pause for a moment and say, this passage is Paul, and he's writing to a church, and he is talking about money. But if you can, as I read this passage, not just put up the filter of, oh, this is a Bible passage about money. It is about money, but it's about a principle that goes beyond just money. So as we read this passage, don't just read it or hear it with pound signs kind of in front of your eyes. Just read it and hear it as principles to do with sowing, giving in life. Okay? So, this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So, let each one give as he purposes in his heart. As you decide. Not grudgingly or of necessity. Like I said, we're not talking about legalism here. For God loves a cheerful, or many of you will know, the Greek could be translated hilarious, giver. You don't all look convinced by that, by the way. God loves a cheerful, hilarious giver. And God is able to make some grace abound towards you. All grace abound towards you. That you, having just about enough, having all sufficiency in some things, having all sufficiency in all things, may have just about enough to get by. May have an abundance for every good work. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Every good work. Are you sure? Yeah. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, may he who supplies, and this is an important verse we'll come back to, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. This is a passage about sowing, and like I said, I want to talk this morning about sowing where we want to go. I have here my iPod, and iPods are wonderful things, and the contents of a person's iPod, sounds a bit dodgy. Contents of a person's iPod tell you a lot about the person, sort of music they listen to, and there's these things called podcasts. I don't know if you're familiar with podcasts, but podcasts are where you can subscribe, and on a weekly or daily or monthly basis, it's basically words, okay? It's someone talking about something. It might be teaching, okay. I'm going to share with you a podcast that I listen to regularly. I will listen to this podcast, more than once a week, depending on how much time I've got. It's actually a daily podcast, or 6 days a week. Look, another lead. Do you want to just kind of plug that in for me, do you think? Thank you. 6 days a week, but I haven't always got time to listen to it every day, but sometimes I'll add them up. It would be good to see in a moment. I'll just take a show of hands as to who else might either listen to this podcast or where it comes from. I just want you to know that I've taken this show of hands in Maidenhead now and in the Marlow congregation. Looking round, I'm expecting for an even better response here this morning. And let me just play you a little bit of this podcast. How are we doing?
Thank you. Downloading Wednesday's episode of The Archers. For more information, visit bbc.co.uk/archers.
Okay, so who listens to The Archers here? Oh, come on! No one in this church listens to it. Come on, be brave. Stand loud and proud here. I see two hands. Well, that's almost as many as Marlow. Higher percentage. Oh, you poor benighted souls. You see, you're going to regret it now, because I'm going to give you a spiritual principle from The Archers. In The Archers, there is a storyline going on at the moment. It's been going on for a while, and it concerns a guy called Ed Grundy, who in himself is a tale of redemption. But anyway, that's another matter. And Ed Grundy has his own business. He's now a tenant farmer and rearing cattle with a partner, a guy called Mike, who's also investing money in it. And they wanted to expand the business. So they had to go to the landowners, bought us to land, to try and get some more land that they could lease. Everyone with the story so far? Okay. They managed to get some land granted to them. But there's still some paperwork going through, even as we speak. So they actually haven't taken full possession of the land yet. But they want to have cattle on that land in the spring. And they want those cattle to be eating grass. Still with it. At the moment, the land, when they took it over, had been used for crops, so had stubble on it. So they had a problem, because until they ploughed up the stubble, they couldn't sow the seed for the grass. But they actually hadn't yet fully taken possession. But they looked forward to what they wanted to be the case in the spring. So they got permission, even before they had fully taken possession of this, which was going to be theirs, they got permission to plough up the land and to sow seed, grass seed, so that come the spring, it would be what they wanted it to be. They got permission to sow where they wanted to go. They looked forward and they said, okay, we're not fully in the good of all this yet, but this is where we're headed. This is where we want to be. This is what we have a vision for. So we will sow now in order that that vision can be fulfilled come the spring. If we wait until the spring, then it's going to be too late. We're just putting off the vision. But if we sow now, then we can take possession of our vision later on. Now you're going to listen to The Archers now, aren't you? It's full of spiritual truth, The Archers. We put the effort in now to achieve what we want to go for. I don't know if we have any aspiring marathon. Actually, we might have wisdom, yeah. Marathon runners. You know, I've got a kind of aspiration to run a marathon sometime. Not actually this morning, but I've got a kind of an aspiration to run a marathon sometime. But even I, in my most optimistic moments, know that I can't just turn up at Greenwich, having put in my application and got it granted. I can't just turn up for a London marathon and think, well, all right, I'll just run it then. It kind of doesn't work like that. You've got to sow where you want to go. And that means at times putting in hard work. That means actually, in my case, running a mile, 1 mile without having to stop and take pauses for breath and walk. You know, never mind 26. It might mean, for some of us, walking up the stairs rather than taking the lift. Do you know what I mean? We've got to sow where we want to go. To put things slightly more seriously, we might have a heart that says, do you know, all this stuff about moving the miraculous, and I remember when Bill Johnson came and moving in signs and wonders, and, you know, I really want to do that. Well, maybe, I'm not saying you got to, but maybe to sow where you want to go might be good to go turn up to that thing Kerry was talking about, to the School of Supernatural Ministry, and actually learn a bit more about it. If we want to see someone raised from the dead, we might want to pray for someone's headache. These are kind of very straightforward spiritual and natural principles. We sow where we want to go. It's not fully the thing yet, but we are putting in the effort now in order that we will be able to realize the vision. We might have an aspiration to say, do you know, I'd really like to be more like Jesus, you know, I'd like to have more of the heart of God, and I don't know quite what we mean when we say that, but we actually need to then think, well, what is the heart of God? Let me just tell you a little bit about the heart of God. In Proverbs, where should we go? Proverbs chapter 19. Here's something about the heart of God. 19 and verse 17. He who has pity on the poor, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. He will pay back what he has given. Something about the heart of the Lord for the poor we can join in on by giving to the poor. We want to capture something more of the heart of God? Well, here's a way we can do that. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. He will pay back what he has given. That sounds like quite a good deal to me. Proverbs 22 and verse 9. He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. There's something about God's heart for the poor that I think means that if we want to capture more of God's heart, we've got to kind of participate in that. In doing that, we can sow where we want to go. We might have a heart for the poor, but we might be thinking, well, you know, there's not a lot I can do where I live. You know, I live in Slough, I live in Sippenham, I live in the outskirts of Maidenhead, wherever it is. And in real terms, in global terms, I don't see the poor outside my door every day. That's very true. But we can still sow where we want to go. One very practical way we can do that this morning is in the offering that Tom and Annette are going to take out to Thailand. There you have some of the world's poor. And much though we would like to, we probably can't all go out to Thailand. And actually, in reality, the money it would cost for all of us to go out to Thailand might be better placed actually sending the money for them to do something with it. It's great that Tom and Annette are going, because it's great to go and encourage Andy and Val and for them to actually see firsthand what's going on. We can't, but if we all did that, if we all flew out there, well, do you know what I mean? It's a bit of a waste of money really, but we can sow where we want to go. Our money can go there. Our money can go where we have a heart to go. Our money can touch the people we've got a heart to touch. We can sow where we want to go. Gerald Coates tells a story that goes something like this. Someone came to him not that long ago, I think, and said, Gerald, I have a heart to have the same sort of impact you've had in the nation. Now, how is it, Gerald, that you got to be this prophet, you know, this leader figure in the nation, influential, mentoring all sorts of people? You know, I really respect all you are and what you've become. You know, how do I get to be where you are? How do I do what you've done? How did you get to be this figure? How did you get this ministry? And Gerald's reply was something like this. Well, when I was a young man, I was part of a Brethren assembly, and I lived a couple of miles away from the Brethren meeting hall. So I used to get up early on a Sunday morning and walk the 2 miles to the meeting hall and unlock. And it was me that put the chairs out and put the hymn books out and tidied up a bit. And he sort of got into this, and the person, I think, sort of interrupted him and said something like, no, I'm sorry, I don't think you understood my question. You know, how do I come to have a ministry like you have in the nation, and a prophet to the nation, you know, influential? Yeah. When I was a young man, I belonged to this Brethren meeting hall, and I used to get up early and walk the 2 miles to the hall, and I used to open up, and I used to tidy up, and I used to put the... And at the end, I used to tie... Do you get the point? It was as he sowed then that this harvest could appear later on. So my question is really quite simple. In life, where do you want to go? Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, well, Andy, that's a great message to young people. But actually, you know, I'm a little bit the other side of young. You know, it's great for the people here who are a bit younger, you know, but quite a lot of my life is kind of happened. And I've kind of sowed already in this. And I just wanted to remind you this morning of a gentleman called Caleb. Caleb, we find, first of all, in Numbers 13, when Moses sends the spies out into the land. And you all know the story. You know, 12 men went to spy in Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Do you remember that one? With all the fingers and... Yeah, anyway. And Caleb is one of those who, with Joshua, comes back with a good report of the land. Well, they kind of say, yeah, it's going to be tough, but we can... Caleb speaks up and says, you know, we can possess this land, even though there's giants and so on. And as you know, he kind of gets outvoted somewhat by the other 10. But Caleb makes a statement. Yes, we can possess this land. And when he makes that statement, he's about 40 years old. Now, unfortunately, because of the disobedience of the people, they kind of wander around for 45 years. But 45 years after Caleb makes this statement, we can possess the land, he is still around. And in Joshua chapter 14, verse 12, Joshua is kind of dividing up who's going to be in charge of which bit. And Caleb, 85 years old, says to Joshua, do you remember that's what happened when I was 40 and you were a young man, and I said we could possess this land. So, Joshua, I'm now 85 years old, so I did my sowing back then. I've been faithful all this time. So if I could just have this nice little safe patch over here, that would do me nicely. It's not what he says. He says, give me this mountain. Yeah, the big guys live here, but let's see if we can take them. He is still sowing in faith to where he wants to go. He's still making those faith statements. Just a thought. So it is as we sow in life, and that includes our money as well. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. And I believe that does include our time, our energy, our gifts, but it also includes our money. And just as a bit of guidance, there's kind of a bit of confusion out there at times, I think, about the whole thing of tithes and offerings. And it says here, God loves a cheerful giver. You know, it's as you purpose in your heart. And under the new covenant, we're not bound by the old covenant and its law. So, you know, is tithing still something that's a law for us? Well, no, it's not a law for us at all. But I do believe it can still be a principle. And it's absolutely right, you know, that the new covenant is better than the old covenant. So you are not bound to give 10% anymore. You are perfectly free to give more than that if you want. Because it's a better covenant. And as a bit of guidance, I basically feel, and I don't want to get hung up on the 10% bit, but I think there is a principle about giving regularly, and I think it's a principle about giving regularly to the church, and I think we can give offerings over and above that to the church, outside the church, whatever, but I think there is a principle that my wife and I have certainly lived by in terms of giving regularly, and that not being a matter of mood or convenience, or even at times circumstance, but to give from predetermined principles, and we have found God's blessing in that. Oh, well, you don't understand, Andy. You know, I just haven't got enough. verse 10, may he who supplies, or another version, God who, may he who will supply, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will multiply, supply and multiply your seed for sowing. I'm going to read that again because I read it rubbish. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness. This, it seems to me, promises that God will give us seed to sow. He'll give us seed to sow. Whether that's time, whether that's effort, whether that is money, he will give us seed to sow. Here's the trick, though. He supplies seed to the sower and he provides bread for food. Here's the problem. Sometimes we try eating the seeds that has been given us to sow. God will give us bread for food, but if it's seed to be sown, let's sow it. Of course, it does work the other way around as well. There is stuff that God's given us as bread for food. If you try sowing a loaf, it kind of just doesn't work, really. And we need to have the wisdom to know which it is. But each of us in this room has been given seed to sow and bread for food. Don't withhold. Let's not withhold what God has given us as seed. Proverbs 11 verse 24-25 says this. There is one who scatters yet increases more. They've recognized the seed they've got to sow. There is one who scatters yet increases more. There is one who withholds more than is right. It leads to poverty. That's because they're eating their seed. The generous soul will be made rich. He who waters will be watered himself. One final thought. Might want to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 verse 19 to 21 says this. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And there's a kind of a thought out there at the moment that says something like, well, you know, I will give to the things I've got a heart for. Because I want to give as I purpose in my heart. So I'll give to the things I've got a heart for. And if I've got a heart for this, I'll give to it. But if I'm not sure about it, well, you know. And I do understand that. It's very natural. But it's not actually what this verse says. This verse says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. In other words, our hearts follow where we put our treasure. Our hearts follow where we put our treasure. Some of you will know that Lina, my wife, and I, during the summer, went to Malawi and participated in a community healthcare training program. Are we healthcare professionals? No. Do we have a heart for healthcare particularly? Not in and of itself particularly, no. Did we have an overwhelming heart for the nation of Malawi and its people? No. Not before we went. What we had a heart for was the organisation we were doing it with, Links International, and all that they'd done, and the general principle of what they were doing and making an impact on the poor of this world. We did have a heart for that. And it cost us quite a lot of money and it cost us quite a lot of effort. Do we have a heart for the people of Malawi now? Yes. Do we have more of a heart for the actual community healthcare stuff? Yes. Why? Because we invested treasure in it. And our heart has followed that. And just a little closing thought. If ever at times you feel, well, I'm not sure if I'm really connecting with this congregation, I'm not sure if I'm really connecting with this church. I'm just not quite sure, you know, I can't quite connect with a vision or whatever. Give to it. Give to it. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will follow. Father, I just want to just ask, Lord, Holy Spirit, you'd come. And I just want to ask a question. Where do you want to go? Where do you individually want to go? What do you have a vision for? So, what are you going to do now to sow into that vision? I just want to ask the Holy Spirit to come and speak to our hearts. Beth, I wonder if you could come. And we're going to take up an offering, and we're going to have bread and wine, and we're going to do all that in a very short space of time. So I'm going to suggest that we put the baskets out the front. Beth, you're going to lead this. So whichever song you think is appropriate. And we're going to put the baskets out at the front. The bread and wine is here. I'm going to suggest that as Beth leads us in something, we come out with our tithes and our offerings. And remember, this is two offerings this morning. One is towards the general vision of what God has called us to as a church. And the other is particularly the gifts to take out to Andy and Val. So there are envelopes, and if it's for Andy and Val, please mark that on the envelope. Then we'll know that's what it's for. But let's sow where we want to go. Do we believe in what God has called us to as a church in this area? Let's sow into that. Do we believe in what Andy and Val are doing out in Thailand? Do we believe in God's heart for the poor? Let's sow into that. So we're going to worship together, we're going to take up our offering, and then if you want to, in small groups, just where you're sitting, or go and you can share the bread with whoever you like. We're at liberty this morning. And as we do that, let's remember all that God, and I don't want to be trite in this, but God sowed into in order to produce the harvest of his family here on earth.